Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt.
Yes, Leanne.
You got some Halloween blow-ups
in
the
air. I really do. So sad.
You've got Halloween blow-ups.
Listen, my kids, if you're listening to this.
You've got a ghost and a goblin.
It's not a goblin. It's a little happy skeleton and a happy ghost.
May I say,
he's the Holy Ghost. And some little purple lights.
Okay, yeah,
lights. My kids love decorations. They love Halloween decorations.
I wonder where they get it.
Well, they do. They love it. And here's the thing. I am not a big blow-up person, but it is an easy thing to do. I had a little bubble.
You had a bubble? Like, what is that even called?
I don't know.
It's like a combination of, like, a burp and a bubble. Is it called a blubble?
Blubble. If you ever call me a blubble again, I will punch you in the throat. Do not call me a blubble. That's the least attractive thing I've ever been called.
What you had was a blubble.
Yes.
You're not a blubble.
Yes, I had a blubble.
You had a bubble.
But they love the decorations. So you know what? It took us 10 minutes.
Yeah, roll with it.
We just roll with it.
It makes them happy. It could be a core memory for them.
That's like, right.
I remember Halloween.
And honestly, if we look back on it, it's one string of lights and two little 3-foot blow-ups. Like, it's not a big deal. It's not my favorite, but it's happening.
It's happening.
And then it's just ushering the way for the time of the year, the most wonderful time
of
the year.
Yes, yes, yes.
Christmas. It's coming.
Thanksgiving.
No, wait, Christmas is
You just skipped right over Thanksgiving.
Because I'm thankful every day.
Oh.
Just like I celebrate Jesus' birth more than
this
just
is
in
where
December.
We are.
So
okay.
Be thankful.
You're like, Thanksgiving is just a nice meal for me.
It is. It's just a nice meal.
Because I'm thankful every day.
Well, mostly because my mom makes Thanksgiving in April or January.
Yes, whenever you want it. Exactly.
Because we're spoiled.
Exactly.
Hey, tell me your good day.
So my good day. It's not going to come as a surprise to you at all, because if you, which I know you do watch any, I know you don't watch all of my Instagram because you know you have a job and everything.
Hashtag job.
I know you watch this and I know you know about this day because you had a similar experience because our friend Kat came into town and she spent some of her time with you all and then she came over to our house. But
you know, why do we have like this separated agreement? We could all hang out together.
It's
kind of like a shared parenting experience
but with
Kat.
But with a friend.
Like it's weird. We could all hang out with Kat.
But here's
the thing. Neither of us want to leave our house.
Right? Neither one of us want to leave our house. And also along with that, our son Joey came home. I was making food at my house. You were making food at this house, and it just didn't work out to all get together. And Joey, when he comes home, both boys, here's the thing about adult kids. It is not the same as when you have your kids living in your house, you see those babies' faces every day.
It's true.
In the morning, in the evening, and in between.
It's true.
And when your adult children are adulting and they have their own homes and they might not live, you know, next door or in your house anymore, the times that they do come home under your roof, I want to be home. Like I want to baby them and give them frothy coffee and make
them. But you don't love leaving home.
I don't. No.
Let's just be real.
No.
You don't love leaving home.
Yes. Like, listen, that's why this podcast also has been so great for our friendship, because we literally connect every week.
I know.
Like, because normally I would not go out of my house to another person's house once
especially
a week.
Especially at like 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, not once a week. No.
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 No. I am special.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Turned into a great podcast.
You're up there.
Okay, but this is not my good day, but I need to talk about food with you.
Oh, okay.
I sent two things over with you.
Okay,
talked about.
I know. Let's talk about them after your good day. After your good day. So my good day was Kat and Joey,
yeah,
Daryl, myself, around the table
and
with a
without the Barrises, but that's fine.
An incredible pot roast and a beautiful loaf of warm homemade bread. And it was just simple and it was sweet and it was lovely and yeah. time to catch up. And, you know, our friend Kat is also a clinical counselor.
Yeah.
So I was able to just kind of, you know, just kind of process some stuff with her yeah. and it was really great. And she asked really great questions, which
she does ask.
She asked great questions that help you get to a resolve within yourself
right.
without telling you what to think. And I do think that's a sign of a good counselor.
100%.
And it also makes me feel like you're doing okay, Leanne. You came to that conclusion with the help and guidance of a counselor.
Right.
But you came to that conclusion in a healthy way.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just a really good day. Right. It was really simple. It was really one of those ordinary but extraordinary days.
Yeah, that's awesome. Ours was the same day, but it's a different part. Before Kat came,
okay,
our family went to our local arts center. So we have Wayne Center for the Arts here in Worcester.
Yes.
It's an awesome nonprofit that has classes for people. They do a lot
pottery,
in that community. Yeah. And
painting.
So they had this whole like fall festival. Our kids made crafts.
Remy's there was a bouncy house.
And there was. And Remy's in a dance class right now. And they measured her for a little mouse nutcracker costume. She's going to be in the nutcracker as a little baby mouse. So they measured her for that.
Word.
I know, right? And then the best part to me out of all of that was there was a Zydeco band playing. Did you happen to hear the band?
I did. They were
good. Not there at the same time.
Yeah,
I was pleading and prodding.
Yes, and I came
you.
Down,
you
looked everywhere
down,
for you.
I was gone.
I was asking
gone.
Where you were. I was like, hey, did you see a man
I
with a
on.
Really cute wife with three kids?
I moved on.
They were like, no.
On.
But they were
Zydeco,
here, but now they're gone.
If you're not familiar with Zydeco music, it's like Louisiana Bayou music. And it was so fun. There was a lady wearing like a washboard.
Yes, they were really good.
Instrument. They were good. And also, it was just a fun experience to be in the community. It was fun to hear the music. Boo Bears was there dishing out coffee.
Yeah.
So we had a little coffee. Yeah. It's just fun to get out
Boo
in
Bears,
the community.
If you are listening.
And then our kids wanted to go to Chipotle and we just can't say no.
Chipotle, if you are listening.
They better. Chipotle better.
Chipotle,
be
pull up.
So seriously, where you been? Where you
listen,
been?
Listen, I want to tell you something.
Tell me.
Did you know that you can get a bowl of rice, like a bowl of rice for $1 at Chipotle?
But why would I want that?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Why you would want it. Maybe you'd want two bowls for $2.
Those are some gross assumptions.
So I got a bowl of rice at Chipotle because I had meat out of the freezer. I didn't want to do side dishes. So I did this beautiful steak, sliced it thin, just one steak, sliced it thin, got Chipotle rice, did a little bit of broccoli, and I had beef and broccoli and rice, and it cost me $1.
How did you hear of this?
I don't know. Probably on the World Wide Web.
That's actually a really good hack.
It's a great hack.
You don't know how to use the World Wide Web, though. You know how to use Instagram, but you don't know what the World Wide Web is. That's actually a really good hack. I like that hack. I'm impressed.
It works.
I learned something new today. All right. Why did I need to save our food comments for right now?
Well, because I wanted to hear your good day first.
Oh, that was my good day.
Okay, that was your good day. Let's talk about food.
I also did.
Let's talk about food.
But I also did a lot of cooking recently.
Okay,
and I need to talk about it.
All right.
I need to talk about it. The first thing that I tried was Grossi Pelosi, Dan Pelosi's.
Dan Pelosi, Grossi Pelosi, if you are listening.
Listen, Dan Pelosi watches us.
Dan.
He watches me. I know he watches you.
Dan Pelosi is one of the sweetest,
yes,
most precious Instagram influencers out there.
Yes.
He's
awesome.
A big teddy bear. I literally bought him something at a thrift store because I saw it and it reminded me so much of him. I bought it and I was like, Dan, can I have your address? Because I need to send you this.
That's hilarious.
I met him in person when he came to Charleston, South Carolina for his cookbook sighting.
Yeah.
He has a cookbook called Let's Eat. And he is he's Italian,
mm-hmm.
and
he's written articles for the New York
Times. I mean,
he's been on Good
but,
Morning
but
America.
But let me just tell you something about Dan Pelosi.
Okay,
he went viral and started his like just huge success during COVID.
Well, good for him.
Why did he get so successful? Because they were in lockdown. He lived in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
and he started doing some of his grandfather Bimpy's recipes and meatball recipes and cookie recipes and Italian wedding cookie recipes. And people fell in love with him because he's just so lovable.
Totally.
And his Instagram is very fun. Like it's a very fun place to follow because he's probably shared Chipotle. He shares all kinds of just, you know, brands and favorite pans. And and his recipes are just family.
They're so good.
Homespun, good recipes.
So I have watched him cook. I like watching him cook on Instagram, and he posts some of his recipes online. I don't know which ones he chooses, but there's maybe 20 to 30 recipes that he puts out there on his website.
Regularly. Like he does and I want to make it still. He does a banana bread with peanut butter. Have you seen that?
No.
It's a banana bread with peanut butter frosting. Mm. It looks delicious.
This is turning into the Dan Pelosi podcast very quickly. But I want to say that made his vodka sauce for my family because my parents lived in New Jersey for a while, and I fell in love with vodka sauce. Mm-hmm. And so I made it.
Yeah, you had to go get vodka, I'm sure.
I did. I had to buy vodka. I actually, dear Dan, I actually lessened the vodka flavor the second time I made it because the kids, it was tangy. I mean, it doesn't have alcohol in it. It cooks out, but it was tangy. But the other, I made Dan's vodka sauce.
Beautiful.
So good. In addition to, I made something. This isn't a Dan Pelosi recipe. I just found this one online somewhere. A cardamom coffee cake.
Okay.
You like cardamom?
Okay. He just made cardamom muffins that were in the New York Times, I believe. They shared his recipe in New York Times, the cooking section. And he made cardamom muffins. Here's what I want to tell you about cardamom.
I love it.
You either love it or you don't.
Oh.
You sent me some lovely pieces of coffee cake. They were lovely.
I'm so nervous.
And I was like, why is it that I know already that I don't like cardamom? Like, I don't think I've ever liked cardamom.
It's so good.
It's like licorice-y.
Yeah, it is. It's
black,
like
licorice-y or anise-y or anise.
It's like star anise.
And here's what I want to say. I would not make a whole coffee cake like that. No, I would not. Hmm. I ate a half a piece that you sent, and I thought to myself,
I should bring this back because Matt likes it and he sacrificed.
Yes, yes, I thought that. And then I also thought, if I had, now you know this is saying a lot for me, I drink frothy coffee. I put creamer in my coffee, and we need to talk about the creamer as well. I put creamer in my coffee. If I had a cup of black coffee with the cardamom, I'm going to try it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I'm going to get a piece of the coffee cake. I'm going to get my black coffee, and I think there's something about the deep richness of the black coffee that I think is going to offset the cardamom nicely, that sure. I think I'll like that combination.
Sure.
But yeah. I was just in passing was like, oh, I need to try this coffee cake. Look at this. Matt sent this. This is lovely. And I thought, I'm going to cut a bite of it because I'm not sure I like cardamom. And I was like, I don't think I like cardamom.
Oh, I love cardamom. I love it. It's one of my favorite things.
It's beautiful. It's a so beautiful good. Coffee cake. Beautiful. I like the crumble on the top.
Yeah. Okay. We're already 13 minutes in. We're just kind of catching up. Let's put a pin in the coffee creamer for right now.
Because we got to talk about the coffee creamer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We can talk about that next week.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what we want to talk about today. Necessary endings. When is enough enough? When do we look at maybe a relationship, a job, maybe where we live, or any change in our life? Mm. When do we look at that and go, I am done. I am moving on? Because I think sometimes we, maybe out of just the kindness of the human spirit, or maybe we want to prove to ourselves that we're resilient and we can do it, I think sometimes we hang on too long.
Oh, we wait too long.
I agree. And well, I want to talk about how to know when do we say enough is enough?
Well, and also, Matt, sometimes we hang on because there's not another option.
That's fair.
Especially if it's a job. Or especially if it's where you live, if it's your house.
Right.
You know,
right.
You might want it to change, but it's not that easy. It's not as easy of saying, like, I'm going to change this. I'm going in and giving them my 2 weeks notice, but you have no.
Well, and to that end, even relationships are challenging.
Right.
Because you don't just, end a marriage and you're just frustrated and you're like, I'm done. Like, yeah. There's a
I
lot
mean,
of
I'm
thought.
Sure people do, but
there's a lot of thought that goes into it. There's a lot, like, if you have kids and you have property and you have finances that are intertwined,
right.
It just doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
So it is hard. But when do we know enough is enough? What about for you? If you, I have some things, but I always like to hear your
well,
thoughts first.
If I think over the landscape of my life, when enough has become enough in the past, I think in almost every situation where enough has been enough, we, and I'll say we, because some of them have been Daryl and I both, you know, collectively as a couple, have waited a little bit too long.
Yeah.
And so then enough and enough is enough becomes when we feel disrespected, when we feel like it's volatile.
Yeah.
Like words are spoken that are unkind.
Right.
And then we find ourselves in situations where we're subjecting ourselves to thoughts, language, name calling, whatever it might be.
Right.
And it's like we now enough is enough.
Yeah.
That is what we've experienced firsthand. I wish that there's a couple situations I can think of that I wish when I got those first signals, like that's when I wish I would have said, okay, let's get the ball rolling for some changes to be made, because you know, road signs, you know, you're going down the road and there's like sharp curve when there's the rumble strips, all those things that guide you when you're on the road. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like in your path, you know, when you're headed somewhere or when you're given like these road signs.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like sometimes in the beginning of things, when it's an ending and it's at the beginning of it, I think some of those road signs are kind of easy to ignore.
Totally.
You know,
or
maybe
you justify them or you explain them away.
Right. Maybe if it's a neighborhood thing where you're like, things are happening in our neighborhood that I'm not feeling, or in our area or in our school district, in our tax district, these things are, I feel like maybe we should be thinking about looking around. Like, I think we have often in my life, I have these thoughts and I have these like, this kind of feels like a road sign, or this kind of feels like a red flag.
Yeah.
But I kind of like say, well, let's see.
Right.
Let's wait.
Right.
It might get better. It might change. There could be some conversations that bring a resolve. I think once those happen a couple times, I wish in the past I would have really paid attention and been like, okay, let's make some moves here.
Right.
And let's start the ball rolling for a change instead of waiting until there is there's basically no other option.
Well, and I like what you're talking about because I love the idea of red and green flags and beige flags. That is such a millennial thing right now where, people post stuff like, this is my husband's beige flags, which is like something quirky about him.
Right.
Or this is my husband's green flags. I love that that's part of our conversations because I think we need to look for the red flags. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think, to your point, I was thinking about the speed bumps, the rumble strips, all that stuff. Because I think there are certain places, when I think about specifically relationships, there's certain places that you just don't go in relationships that are very, 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 very difficult to come back from. For example, I don't know why this came up in my mind as an example, but in my family growing up and in my relationship and in my home now, our family does not say shut up to each other.
Oh, yeah. We
like,
don't
that's
either.
Like, that's I would rather have Mallory say a curse word.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's a very big no-no in our family.
So
if they ever talk like that to one another or to us, they'd be in trouble.
Oh, yeah. So I was thinking when you were saying like a red flag, if you're in a relationship and someone says shut up to you, whoa, that's going to be an easy thing to explain away because you're going to say they were stressed. It was in the heat of the moment.
I was talking too much.
Yeah, I did something too. That is a huge red flag. And actually in my family, we had an incident, not in my nuclear family, but in my extended family, where like, I'm trying to say this in a delicate way, a family member lashed out at another family member. and took things way out, said things that can't be taken back, cursed, was horrible to another person. And it's so hard to recover from that.
It's hard to come back from it.
It's so hard. And for me, now, does that mean enough's enough? No, not necessarily. But that's a red flag that leads to me going, ooh, is there a necessary ending in the future? You know, if someone lashes out at me like that, I need to tuck that one away.
Yep.
Or maybe we end there and don't get to the place where we're so exacerbated and so exhausted by the other person or by the situation or by the job or by the neighborhood or by the school system, where we are so exhausted that we feel at our wit's end.
And I think there's opportunity for a big U-turn with relationships.
Always. Yeah.
So for instance, when I was going to counseling and trying to wade through some family dynamics, not with my nuclear family, with extended family and family of origin. And I was telling my counselor some of the things that were being said.
Yeah.
And she's okay. She said, okay, well, this is easy. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, no, it's not.
And easy
this is an easy solution. She's like, the next time that happens, you say, Hey, stop. Hey, if the person doesn't stop, you hang up.
Mm-hmm.
If the person stops, you say, listen, I want to have this conversation and I'm willing to have the conversation. But if you continue to talk to me this way, I want you to know that I'm going to say goodbye and I'm going to hang up.
Yeah.
So let me just tell you, there are certain families that you don't do that to because there are certain personalities that just do not hear that.
Right.
So I said to the counselor, I said, you don't know what you're asking me to do. Mm-hmm. She said, oh yes, I do. I know exactly what I'm asking you to do. And so the next time it happened, I did exactly what she said. I said, Hey, stop. I want to have this conversation and I'm willing to have this conversation. But if you continue to talk to me like this, I'm going to say goodbye and I'm going to hang up. I just want you to know that because I don't want to be disrespectful.
Right.
Especially if you have a relationship with someone that spans that's important.
Lifetime.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so it was fine for about three sentences or four sentences and went right back to. And I said, okay, goodbye. And I hung up. One of the last times I spoke to that person, actually. And because we have to take a hold of what we will allow into our relationships and how we will allow people to treat us.
100%. You know, someone has said this before, but your interactions with people are all a lesson on how you are willing to be treated. Yeah. You are teaching them how you are willing to be treated.
Yeah.
And I love that thought because it puts a lot of onus on you that you are not a victim and you can say, Hey, I'm going to stand for this or I'm not, or I'm going to allow this or I'm not.
I think full stop, necessary endings for me is a real big one. If you're going to ask me like to name two, disrespect. Yeah. I mean, disrespect in friendship and in relationship. That's going to be a necessary ending for
me.
And I'll probably do the disrespect thing a couple times and be like, maybe it was just a bad day. Da, da, da. And then it'll just be
right.
I'll just put distance.
Have you experienced that?
Yeah. With friendship. Yeah. Oh yeah. And just been like, I wish you well. I wish this person well, but I'm going to back away. This friendship is going to become at arm's length, maybe even farther than arm's length, legs length, and wish you well, but not participate. Because listen, I'm just not going to be, I think you allow it. You allow the disrespect over and over and over again.
Right.
And you know what that is. Like, I think we all instinctively know what those disrespectful things are.
Right. Right. And for some people, it could be something as simple as shut up or criticizing your spouse or your family or even your home or little things like that where you're like, what are you doing?
Right.
When I think about having necessary endings with people, one that comes to mind is constant criticism or judgment. Someone who is constantly criticizing or judging you.
Yes.
Now, this could go this could go into a workplace environment too.
Oh, for sure. You know, if you have a boss
that is consistently judging you or criticizing you for your work, and it's not changing, and it's not a positive environment, it might be time to look.
Simon Sinek, did you see the video? He had a video the other day. Simon Sinek is somebody who talks about the workplace and psychology of the workplace and leadership. And he was at, I believe, either the Four Seasons or the Ritz-Carlton. I can't remember which one. I've never been stayed at either.
Same.
And he was waited on by this barista, and then he watched him for a while, and he just saw how much this guy loved his job. And he said, "Hey, I got to ask you a question." The guy said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you love your job?" He said, "Oh, I love my job." And he said, "Why do you love your job?" He said, "Because of how I'm led, because of my leaders. My leaders will check in with me. They'll ask how I'm doing. They'll ask if I need anything. They'll ask if I need help." And he said, "I love my job." He said, "But I also work at another hotel across town. And there, I put my head down, I do my job, and I leave. And I don't love my job there." And he said, "Well, why?" He said, "Because every time the managers pass, they say what is wrong instead of what is right." Yeah. Or instead of saying, "Can I help you?" Or, "How is everything?"
Right.
And I was like, bingo, there right. it is. There
right.
it is.
Right. Here's another one for me is being emotionally manipulative. People that use guilt,
passive aggressive
threats to control your behavior, or just mean things to manipulate what they want out of you or to get you to do things or to say things. Mm. If there's someone like that in my life, oh my word. Well, I'm not friends with them. Truthfully.
Right.
Truthfully,
right.
I'm currently not friends with them. Here's another one is invasive behavior. People that overstep their boundaries, invade your privacy, or constantly interfere with your life. You need to set some limits with them, or maybe have a necessary ending.
Yeah.
And then the last one's really, 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 really simple. If you feel unsafe,
right?
Like if you are physically feeling unsafe, or listen, if I may speak for you, you in the tenure of our friendship had a friend, well, we've been friends, that was unsafe, that was making choices with strangers.
Or even with me, where I was like, I felt unsafe. Yeah.
Or taking you to places that you were like, where are we going? And what are we saying? And why are we acting like this? Because it felt unsafe.
Right.
And so I think if you're feeling unsafe, listen, that can be in a work environment
too. That is a necessary quick full stop.
That's
ending.
A quick one. Yeah. There's really no excuses for that.
Yeah.
There's no excuses. So what does it look like to you? What do those conversations look like? Like you've referenced family members, you've referenced friends.
We had something happen recently where we were in a group of people, newer relationships, and something was said in this group that was completely inappropriate. That person thought it was hilarious, but it was completely inappropriate. And here's what I want to say. Now that I'm 56, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the nervous laugh or pretend like I didn't hear and just not saying anything. Mm. And I don't really care if you are a wealthy politician or a debutante or whatever. I'm just not gonna sit there quiet.
So what'd you
and
do?
So I said, "Oh, that is not funny. No. Don't say things like that."
Yeah.
"That's not funny."
Yeah.
And I did it kindly and I did it nicely and it was awkward. And it was awkward for the partner that the person was with. But I think it's necessary.
Right.
I think if you see something, say something. But if you hear something also.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying if strangers on the street are in an argument that you need to interject yourself. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you're involved in a conversation and there are things that are said that are inappropriate or unkind or whatever, you have every right, if you are part of that conversation, to say, no, let's not talk like this. This is not kind. This is not, you know, this is not life-giving.
Well, that is literally the essence of training people how to treat you.
Yeah.
You know, this actually happened to me last week at work. I walked into a room where there were two people. And this person has done this before. And I walked into a room and one of the people in this conversation said, "Shh, shh, shh, here he comes." And they clearly meant it as a joke.
Oh, right.
But I said, "Oh, I don't like that." I said, it plays on some of my insecurities.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make me feel great.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, well, what were you talking about?
Yeah, right.
I said, so I would really appreciate it if you didn't say that when I walked into a room.
I think this speaks to, this is a little bit different and it might go off track a little bit, but it's kind of the same vein. When our boys were growing up, neither Dara or I ever supported, liked, or even allowed negative teasing.
Yeah.
Like teasing where it's like, "You stupid imbecile." No. We don't talk to one another that way, because that is where seeds of insecurity are planted.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm glad you
said
it. That's
such a good word.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's part of just reframing how your relationships work with people so that it doesn't get off track.
Now, what happens if a necessary ending is not just with a job, but like, say it's with a town?
Oh.
How does that look? Like
I don't
when
know.
Is it things that are not convenient? Like, I think about people, I just heard recently someone that got a new job that now has to drive almost an hour to and from work.
Yeah.
So do you start saying when those kinds of things start to happen, maybe it's time to look at a town closer to where I work?
Maybe, or if that's what they want.
How long am I going to be at this job? How important is this job?
Right.
You
I
know,
think you have to weigh all of that stuff.
Yeah, and where your kids go to school. All
See,
that.
When you said that, I thought you were going down a little bit of a political path.
Like,
are we done with a town? Disrespects groups of people, and I'm like, ooh, we don't have time for this.
No, I'm saying when is a necessary ending, like, you don't want to live in the same place anymore, you know, because you are at certain ages in your life, especially say you're in your 20s or 30s or early in your career. You're like, should I move to Denver or should I move to Florida? Don't move to Florida.
Not right now.
Should I? Oh, Florida. Or should I move to, you know, out west? Like, I was just having this conversation with one of Joey's housemates, you know, because Joey, our youngest son, Joey, lives in Columbus and has 6 bedrooms in his house. So he has 5 housemates. Mm. And one of his housemates is getting ready to move. And he was telling me all the reasons why he wanted to move. And he's so excited to move.
Where are they going?
He is moving to Fort Collins first for 2 months. And then hopefully California after that.
Interesting.
And so I was just a listening ear when he was telling me, asking some questions and listening. But then, and I think when someone shares with you and kind of feels like they're almost not asking your advice, but saying, "I want to share this with you and get your thoughts," that is saying, "Give me your feedback."
Right.
But when someone's really excited and pretty much already made up their mind, you have to weigh how you're going to really respond, because
you might turn into a red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
For them.
So, right. So I thought about it for literally almost 48 hours and then texted him. I said, I keep thinking about our conversation. And here are the things that I want you to be real thoughtful about.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared it with him. And he was so appreciative and so kind and just wonderful in how he responded. But I think you do need to weigh everything and not just like, "Oh, it would be so cool to move to Colorado." Well, yeah, it would be cool to move to Colorado.
I live by Disney World, but that's not happening.
Well, and you know, when you move from Ohio to California, the cost of living is a whole other.
That's a beast.
It's a whole other thing.
Totally.
You know, weigh it all because so much can sound romantic.
Oh, absolutely. Moving in general sounds romantic.
Aww.
You know, I do want to have a necessary ending with Ohio every February, March, because I'm like, I do dream of other places.
Yeah, I know.
But there are so many reasons why I don't want to leave Ohio.
I know.
And so I think weighing out the cost is always the right thing to do. You know, as we navigate things like boundaries with people or necessary endings with a job or with a human or with family members or in a relationship or a town.
Yeah.
That one caught me by surprise. As we navigate all those things, I think you do have to weigh the cost.
Yes.
Because you're going to say to yourself, is this friendship, the friendship that where I feel disrespected, the relationship where they call me stupid, the
taken advantage of,
the house that keeps flooding. I don't know. Seriously. I don't know what it is, but you have to weigh it all out. And honestly, sometimes maybe the choice is to stay. And what that looks like to me is we got to come up with another plan.
Yes,
because if we're going to stay, we got to have another plan.
Correct. We have to have a plan of action.
Yep.
Yes.
If we're going to stay at the job, if we're going to stay in the relationship, if we're going to have a relationship with our parents.
Oh, gosh, go to therapy.
Like, right. If we're going to have those relationships, if we're going to keep up that job, if we're going to live in that town, we got to have a plan. Because whatever it is that took you to the place where you were ready to put it on the line, that is not going away. That's not going away. So what are we going to do different to make it better?
I mean, I have nothing to add to that. I mean, right there. That's
church.
It.
The end.
Okay, listen. Before we go, because I know the wrap-up's coming, let's talk about food.
Food. That was slower. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's like jazzy.
Okay. Okay. Wanna Creek Cheese and Market. Their fresh meat counter.
Mm.
Their smoked sausage.
Mm.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
The next time you go,
yes,
you just tell them I sent you. Mm. You go back there to the fresh meat counter. You say, Leah Miller said to get the smoked sausage. Delicious.
What's it looking like? Is it a bulk sausage? Is it in a wrapper?
It's in like long links and it's smoked and you cut it and fry it. You can fry it in, you know, a 10 inch piece, or it can be more like bite sized pieces, but it is delicious. Do you remember it from Sugar Valley Meats even?
Yeah. Does it remind me of kielbasa?
Yes. They have, sometimes they have mushroom and cheese. Sometimes they have just regular smoked sausage. Sometimes they have a pizza one, but it is delicious.
Mm. Listen, I have a good gumbo recipe. If you want to try some sausage and you need a gumbo recipe, I got one for you.
Let me just tell you, that gumbo is something to dream about.
Hallelujah.
It is so good.
Let's talk about food.
Your child was afraid that you were bringing me all the gumbo.
I know. The kids were fighting over it.
But yeah, what about you? Have you had anything recently?
My latest escapades from all the cheese. Mallory had a book club. My little tryst with the with all the Greek cheese and market. Mallory had a book club over.
Okay.
Which I believe the ratio of talking about the book to socializing was 15 minutes to 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Okay.
But my mom actually was going to Walnut Creek Cheese and got Mallory some things for her charcuterie board. And let me tell you one of the things that is overlooked sometimes.
I'm so excited about this.
A little ham salad on a cracker.
Oh, their ham salad. They actually call it sandwich bread.
Okay.
And
praise.
It's ham salad, essentially. It is. Well, it's the best I've ever had.
Listen, it's so good. Millennials need to start eating it. Yeah. I'm afraid it's going to die.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Do you think?
No, it's not going to die.
Okay.
No, it's not going
to
die.
We need to keep it alive.
Yeah, we need to keep it alive. With Ritz crackers, but also, I will tell you, it is fabulous on like the baguette with like toasted lightly.
Yes.
Like a piece of baguette with a little tiny swipe of butter.
Mm.
And the baguette's a little bit toasty and warm. Mm. And you put that ham salad on there.
Delicious. So good. Well, hey, we are so thankful for Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek Foods for the way they support us.
Yes.
They're here. They're hanging with us.
Yes.
And they're
good
people. Hey, thanks for joining us in this conversation all about when is enough enough.
Mm.
Sometimes you just gotta walk on.
Walk on.
It's a Reba
McEntire
song. Yeah. Hey, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are
good days.
Days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.